Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off the play fake. And that ball's up in the air and taken away by Petrie. Jalen Petrie has done it again.
Henry going on this drive. Play action. Rush. Safety valve is Henry. And it's intercepted. The anticipation of Petrie. Turnover. Henry, the intended target. And Petrie jumps the route.
Browning with protection this time, and it's intercepted by Anzalone. Anzalone works around Chase and out of bounds inside the 30.
Wentz, second and five. Addison, he's got it! Touchdown!
Thanks to CBS, Fox, and the NFL Network for all of that. The AFC North imploding like Three River Stadium, Bob, at the moment. And how does that change things for the Steelers? It's good to be back here. We're going to be getting into all of that. I wanted to mention off the top here, I've been gone for a week or so, and then intermittently before that. And what happened was that both my parents passed in a matter of 6 days. And man, I mean... It was Bob. They were, and I appreciate your support and limits and everybody here, right from the top, SPAC and Craig Riley and everybody else. John Starkey, Evelyn Starkey, both were approaching 93 years old, and it just everything happened so quickly. He had a stroke the night after the Bills Ravens game. That's not what caused it, but he did have one. And that was just what, 4 weeks ago, yeah. 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, the opener.
Not even a month ago, really. And prior to that, like the night before that, he was my mom's caretaker. She had short-term memory issues and he was still driving and going to the supermarket and cooking. And then with that, you know, everything started to devolve after that. And sort of the good thing about all of it was that they went quickly and peacefully once things went south. My dad didn't have to live with the debilitating effects of a stroke. He likely would have been wheelchair bound. And then my mom, I think, just couldn't bear life without him. And to get 24-hour care, she needed to go into a facility near my sister in Fredonia, New York. And she only spent 2 nights there. So the big surprise really was that she passed before him. I think internally she must have just said, I'm out here. I this is not what I want. And she was gone on September 25th, and then less than 6 days later, this past Wednesday, he was gone. So I don't even know what I'm feeling now. Obviously there was enormous grief and all of that, but also peace. I'd never been around like up close with anybody who passed before, let alone my mom. And I was there for that. You and I talked about that, Bob. And then my brother was there when my dad passed overnight. So there's all kinds of things that are brewing, but you know, mostly right now, at least today, it's gratitude for the lives they lived and for what they bestowed upon us, their five kids, and that they lived long, good lives, and that they didn't have to suffer greatly at the end. It was peaceful. I saw Rob Rossi yesterday. You know him, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling him the story, and yeah, they almost made it. I said they were all, both, one was 93, one 92, and he said, well, they won then. And then I said they almost made it to 70 years of marriage. And he said, well, that's just running up the score. So there's a lot, but I appreciate everybody's support and concern. I'm really, really glad to be back here today. I know my mom and dad were happy that I found a vocation in life. You know, if you saw me when I was 7 years old, I was, you know, pretending I was Dave Parker on the wiffle ball field and things like that. So a lot, Bob, but glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And I know how trying that is. You went through it. And I got to believe at some point they were so tightly bonded together as a husband and wife that this was something that when one went, the other goes. I've seen too many examples
Incredible.
Of it. And it seems to be, you're right, internally, they just say this is the time. And in one way, it's a beautiful moment for you to be there, you know, for the final breath. I went through that. I know how tough that is. But it's something you'll remember forever. So,
man, that's for sure. That is for sure.
I know you went through a lot, but I know you have a lot of family support. So,
thank you, Bob.
And you'll need that moving forward. Too many things. You have to go through all this stuff afterwards, and it just brings home the fact they're no longer here.
Thank you. And thank you, Limits, too. You were checking in regularly. So many people from the station were.
Yeah, Joe, and a lot of people for the show that were chiming in, calling in about your well-being and everything. And we love you, Joe. And we wish everything the best moving forward as well.
I appreciate it, buddy. And like I said, I know my parents were really, I would guess if they could have picked a vocation for me when I was a little kid running around, it would have been, well, a professional athlete, but that ended very quickly, Bob.
No, you're doing the next best thing.
The next best thing, talking about sports for a living.
Making it a living, and they were very proud of you, I'm sure. So there's that. There's something about making them proud because they made you proud.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it almost feels like all the emotions were just poured out, and now it's just, yeah, I don't know even know how I feel other than happy to be here with you.
We're glad to have you back.
Thanks,
and it's,
man.
Obviously, tough times. I just, every time I see somebody go through it, I remember what it's like. So
yeah, I hear you. And and your check-ins were much needed when they came. So speaking of sad things, Bob, shall we move on to the AFC North at the moment?
It's a happy thing. You're the Steelers.
In the state of it.
Who would have thought it'd be the worst division in football, but it's heading in that direction?
Oh, my God.
Never would have thought that.
Not me. I mean, I think the Micah Parsons trade was probably the biggest story early in the NFL. The biggest story right now is the demise of the Baltimore Ravens. That's the biggest story in the league. They're sitting here at 1-4. They've got Matabuike's out for the year. I don't know how long Lamar is out. However long he's out, they're going to lose almost every game. Their defense has given up 177 points in five games, which is the most in a five-game stretch in the
Incredible.
History of the franchise. They are horrible. They're facing a pretty darn good Rams team coming up. I think they're going to drop to 1-5. Certainly if Lamar doesn't play, I think that's going to happen. And that then, I think, Bob, changes everything for the Steelers. The bar has been raised here to the point. I never thought I would say this. Are we out of? Yeah, we're out of September. It's October 5th.
October
6th, even.
Day after Mary Lemieux's birthday. How about that?
He's, 60 he
joined
years
the 60
old.
Club.
Wow. I never, ever thought I would say this, but this division has been gift wrapped for the Steelers 3 months before Christmas. To the point where, and I think this is fair, you tell me if you guys disagree, it's going to be a massive disappointment and failure if they don't win this division. My God, the other quarterbacks are Cooper Rush, Jake Browning, and Dylan Gabriel, who actually looked okay, but he's still Dylan Gabriel, and he's still making his second start next week against the Steelers, or this week, coming up on Sunday. It's their division to take, and they better take it. They can't afford the home losses to Bailey Zappi types or Zach Wilson types or the road losses to Dorian, what's his name?
Thompson Robinson.
One of nine quarterbacks Cleveland has used since they said bye-bye to
Baker Mayfield. They're on 41 now. Or Jameis Winston. Bob, Do you agree or disagree? If they don't win the division now, this is a failure.
No, I agree.
Assuming
I agree.
Decent health.
I mean, yeah, the health. They've not been healthy either, totally. So they haven't been hit the way the Ravens have been hit. But I think it's going to be, especially if they lose this week with the Rams. It's a home game. If you're watching that team, what makes you think they can beat the Rams? Because they're going to have the same. The defense has been hit harder than the offense, and the offense is losing its MVP. So yeah, if you go to 1-5, I don't think there's any way to dig out from that. You'd have to go all the rest of the way with almost run the table.
Almost.
And you know, Cincinnati's in worse shape, believe it or not, with Jake Browning. I'm surprised they haven't made a move, you know, since this first happened, because they need more quarterback help. As far as Dylan Gabriel's concerned, I was pretty impressed with him. But that team just has, for whatever reason, the ability to blow games and not complete games. Yesterday was their 80-yard drive at the end. Their defense is all this pounding on the chest defense, and yet they couldn't stop Carson Wentz from going 80 yards when he needed a touchdown. So, yes, it's there for the taking, and I would be highly disappointed if they didn't win the division now.
I would as well. I mean, considering the way that they've started this season, the rubber's going to meet the road when they play the Lions, when they play the Bills, when they play Green Bay. That will be the first real test, that Green Bay game in prime time. The Ravens are statistically the worst defense in the NFL. Who possibly would have thought that?
Packers don't look much better, though.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're struggling, too.
Like, Roquan Smith's hurt.
Yep.
Kyle Hamilton's hurt.
Madubuke's out for the year.
I remember when we had Rob Long on, and I checked in with him earlier this week. Like, what's going on? He was talking about Harbaugh, the defensive coordinator, or they wanted to fire him last year as a first-year defensive coordinator. Now, I mean, he's probably on the chopping block in the next few weeks if they don't get this fixed.
Biggest story in the league. They were a popular, really popular Super Bowl pick. The Bengals had decent Super Bowl odds, and now they have Jake Browning. I mean, the division leader is -2 in point differential. That's the Steelers right now. But it's not just the division. There's also a bigger story, Bob. It's the AFC. I've watched every minute of every Steeler game and every minute of every Bills game, and I think the Steelers are a better football team. You might think I'm crazy. The Bills have obviously a great, great quarterback who could win them any game. Other than that, they have James Cook, Deion Dawkins, and maybe Ed Oliver on defense as guys other teams would crave. After that, almost nobody. That roster, up and down, is almost embarrassing. There's nobody on that defense outside of Oliver who's hurt that you'd even think of double teaming or game planning around. And there's no receivers. They have just a bunch of guys out there running around for Josh Allen. You saw how much they missed Stephon Diggs last night. So the Bills, trust me, are extremely vulnerable. I don't think they're going to win that division. Then you had the Ravens and Bengals, especially the Ravens were another team. It was Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. We know the Chiefs have taken a step back. I think so. You don't?
They don't have Rashee Rice when they get him back. I think they're going to have a lot of weapons for Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, they could go to the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to win 14 or 15 games.
It's hard to be at that same level the way they have been.
But the whole AFC has blown wide open here a month into the season.
But
that's the story.
There are replacement teams. Indianapolis, I think, is for real. New England, what we saw last night, the fact they went into Buffalo and won that game, and they have a schedule that's very, very doable coming up. They could be for real. And that game against the Steelers, Steelers have checked off a lot of tie-breaking potentials, which is also a good thing in the AFC right now.
And the Broncos just went into Philly won, and they should be 5-0. They lost on two last-second field
and
goals.
And one was a leverage play that should never have counted.
They should absolutely be 4-1. I think they're very good, but those teams aren't. The Colts, maybe the Jags are for real, but by for real, you don't mean they are what we thought the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs would be. They could be for real, but the AFC is just wide open, Bob.
It is, and what you're describing is a league, a conference that doesn't have many top-to-bottom sure bets. There are a lot of problems each of these teams has, and as the year goes on, we'll see probably a lot more of them. It'll change the dynamic of what we're talking about here. But at the same time, when you have Cleveland coming into your place, you have Cincinnati on a short week. I don't care it's Thursday night. I don't care it's a short week. They have a bad team right there, and they're missing their by far best player. The Steelers need to win these two games. You know, they have to win them, in my view. They don't want to go 4-2 because after that comes—
No, you have to win these two games.
They're just, at this time, these two teams are really reeling.
It's
Cleveland
time,
flies back all the way across the country. Right. You have to win this game.
It's time not to lose one of these games this year. It's time to not do that. And they should be 5-1 with Green Bay coming in here and then the next weekend, Indy. And let's say those are two home games. You split and you're 6-2. You go out to the Chargers who are banged up. Okay, you still lose that game. 6-3. Then you have Cincy at home. They're an expansion team without Burrow. They're horrible.
Bad. Especially defensively. They knew that going in anyway with Burrow. And now it's being really put to light.
I don't know what's going to become of the Ravens or when Lamar's coming back. But then you have the Bears who actually that looks to be a tough game. And then Buffalo at home. Bob, I think it's entirely possible that the Steelers may be fighting, and this will sound crazy, for the top seed at some point.
They might
be. Oh, how about that one?
Why wouldn't they? At least fighting for it. They were last year, right? It came down to that last Christmas tournament.
When they were 10-3, they were right in position to do it, yes.
Absolutely, with Kansas City coming here with a game against Baltimore. They were in position. Yep. I think they've gotten some incredible breaks here, and they've also played good enough. I thought the Minnesota game was very interesting, Bob. I never had a chance to comment on that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought, for one thing, even though Mike Tomlin coached the Vikings back into the game and turned what should have been a blowout into a one-score win, listen, we all said, at least I did, and it felt like a lot of the football world, including Ben, said that they were going to be outcoached in that game, and they decidedly were not. Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, completely outcoached. I was going to say
Kevin
Mike Zimmer,
and
Kevin
Brian
O'Connell
Flores.
And Brian Flores completely outcoached them. And that was the first time. They had the turnovers the week before, but this was the first time I saw a Steeler defense that looked violent and destructive, even though they have some injuries. And Aaron Rodgers has just flat out been better than I thought. I was wrong. He's just been, I think, good. I don't care what his PFF grades are. He's been good making winning plays when they need to be made. I don't think they're a juggernaut by any means. Part of me still believes, a big part of me, that it will wind up with another first playoff game, first loss scenario. I'm just saying that they're a little better than I thought. Rodgers is definitely better than I thought. And everything else has fallen into place because the division and the AFC have basically fallen to pieces. They could be fighting for a top seed.
They could be, but they're also, the way this league works, as you know, every week, you could arguably say that they should have lost to the Jets and the Patriots both. They were outgained and outplayed for large portions of some of those games. And, you know, they won, and that's the bottom line. That's the only stat in the end that matters. But they were that close. They were walking a tightrope to being maybe 1-3 instead of 3-1. But that's the NFL at large. That's how close these games come. And that's why week to week, you never know what you're going to see. And we saw that yesterday with four fourth quarter comebacks of double digits. Crazy things you never, ever see in a game. So that's why they have to just do their thing. And I agree with you about Rodgers. He's been just very professional about it. He hasn't gone for crazy numbers. But what he does is he makes accurate throws. And in that game in Dublin, the one to DK Metcalf, the only reason that turned into an 80-yard touchdown was because the ball was exactly
perfect.
Where it had to be, and he didn't lose stride. If you're going to do that, you better make it exactly in that spot. He did, and as a result, they get a big play out of it. So he's shrewd enough. He's been around enough where that's a big asset. And who would have thought that 4 weeks into this, he'd be the only man standing of all the quarterbacks in the AFC North?
Just incredible. And again, watching Buffalo, for example, everybody saw it last night. They were unmasked. Their defense isn't good, And anything they get, James Cook is really good. I don't know if I mentioned him earlier as a guy.
I think
every
Coleman
team would
could
want.
Be good. You said they don't
could
have
be, a... but nobody really worries about Keon Coleman or any of their right. receivers. And they have sometimes leaks on the offensive line that Josh Allen masks. But look at Aaron Rodgers, Bob. You want to look at passer rating. He's top 10 in that. You want to look at touchdowns. He is top 10 in that. You want to look at completion percentage. He's 12th in that. And then he's had three picks. One of them was sort of a desperation situation. I just think he's looked better than I projected he would look.
But you know what's better than at any time in the last 3 years? Their red zone efficiency.
Red zone.
And he's the reason for that, too. He was good at that in New York, even though they were 5-12 last year. He's been excellent this year. And if you look at the red zone numbers, they got to be at the top of the list. The other thing, they're making the ball go away from the other team. They're one of the top teams in takeaways, and they don't make penalties. These are all little things, but they add up, and they're adding up right now, the 3-1.
And I don't even know how much of what I'm saying is about the Steelers. I am saying they're better than I thought they would be, I think. But so much of this is about what's happening around them and has just presented them with a gift horse, Bob.
It is. I don't think you ever can expect all these key players to be out for the teams that you thought were going to be the best teams in the AFC. But that's pretty much where it is right now. And depth is always an issue in the NFL. And right now the Ravens have depth issues they probably never thought they'd get to. So many reserves playing, so many Pro Bowl players who were not in their lineup yesterday.
I don't see how it gets better, do you? Like, their schedule will soften. That's a fact. And Lamar, presumably, will be back at some point. But if he's not back for the Rams, I don't see a path to winning that game with Cooper Rush. I don't even know who else is on their
Tyler
team.
Tyler Huntley would be the guy. He's there always, and he's more of a Lamar Jackson. He's a, I don't know what kind of version of him, but he can at least do the things that I think are required to play that offense. Cooper Rush's was terrible yesterday. He had a better opportunity coming to Baltimore if he got in because what I saw in Dallas. What I saw in Dallas was some actual quarterback play when he got in there. He was decent. Wasn't great, decent. He's been terrible since he's gotten in there this time.
The whole landscape reminds me yet again that when you have the best team, when you have your best chances, you best cash in. 2 years ago, Baltimore was the best team. They had the AFC Championship game on their home field. They blew it. Last year, I thought you could make an argument they were the best team. Derrick Henry and Jackson
together.
They were
better than that previous team you mentioned. Yeah,
They
blew it.
The Bills, I think, two or three times have had the best team. This is by far not their best team around Josh Allen. They couldn't finish the deal, even with a lead and 13 seconds left in Kansas City. Cincinnati, with a healthy Joe Burrow, had a chance. They got all the way to the Super Bowl. I think they got back to an AFC title game, didn't they, in Kansas City, or was that a divisional game?
No, that was a title game. I think it was a title game.
And I'm starting to wonder if we'll ever see them around like that again with his injuries piling up. When you have those chances, when you're the best team or one of a couple and you got the games at home or you're in the Super Bowl, you get to the AFC title game, you better cash in. We may see a situation where three great quarterbacks, three Hall of Famers in Lamar, Josh, and Joe Burrow, none of them may ever win a Super Bowl.
Which tells you how tough it is to do. It is very difficult. Everything has to go your way. You've got to have mostly injury-free roster. You're going to have bumps and bruises along the way. But when you have massive losses, it's almost impossible to compete. Another team you could put in that category, maybe missing an opportunity, was Detroit. They had
They look like a juggernaut.
They
right
do,
now.
But I mean, when he gambled out in San Francisco,
right?
The way he did,
right?
Those were opportunities that knock on the door, and they don't knock that frequently. So you better take advantage of it. Yeah, they look really good right now. So they got everything working for them on offense.
And then everybody's had to contend with that Mahomes guy. And you might be right, Bob. Maybe as I talk out loud here about the landscape in the AFC, is this just shaping up for the Arrowhead Invitational again? Are we going through Kansas City in the AFC again?
I don't know if you're going to go through Kansas City, but I think they're going to be a player here. You know, the way he's starting to warm up, and like I said, no Rashee Rice, he'll be back at some point. They have a huge game coming up here against Detroit on Sunday night, I think.
Yeah.
That is going to be one of the more entertaining games, much like I thought Baltimore-Buffalo was in week one. But they could very easily lose that game and go to 2-3.
You tell me next who you think the two best teams in all of football are. and limits. I want you to do a little brainstorming on that as well. It's Pomp and Joe. Happy to be reunited here, Bob. I worked all night to catch up on things and had a giant piece of paper. It was like a Bruce Arians play sheet. I had my Penguins, Pirates, Steelers, Penn State, which limits is going to go off.
Oh, I'm waiting for that moment.
Oh, this will be fun.
The new quarterback at Pitt, the college football landscape, all my notes, and it's all gone. I remember stuffing it in here, and it's gone.
It's in there somewhere. You'll find it when you least expect to find it. That's how it normally works. So, Austin, look at this stuff in front of us. This is what was in his briefcase. So this is old school. This is what I do, and this is. You here's hoard a, stuff on all these papers.
Look
he,
at this
he likes
crap.
To write stuff out like I do. Here's you stuff a, them into a briefcase, and then all of a sudden you have no idea what's in
this?
There.
This is a Jim Shorkey auto.
There's probably a rotten banana in there you probably had from about 2 years ago.
Here's my registration, car registration from 2017, Bob, is in there. Another Jim Shorkey thing, an old checkbook.
This is what I do. This is
happy birthday.
I can understand what you're doing.
I don't know.
You'll
what this
find
is.
It.
Who's this from? I don't even know this person. It says wishing you the most incrinculant 60th birthday, but I don't know the person who sent it. There's maps. Remember when we used actual road maps, man. Bob?
Yes, and I couldn't understand them anyway. I had to stop at every gas station
what's
on
this?
My way to whatever destination it was.
Incredible.
It's in there somewhere.
All right.
Either that, or you misplaced it outside in the lobby.
How much have things changed in the AFC North and the AFC at large? But the question could be crystallized to this. Suddenly, if the Steelers do not win the AFC North, that's a massive failure, right? 412-928-9370 off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. JP's been under the weather a little bit lately, so here's wishing him good health, Joe Potocnik. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Well, as we just spent the whole first segment talking about, the NFL has gotten a little crazy here. In recent days, and there's all kinds of things happening, and there's a pretty good Monday night game, isn't there, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, every week there's these marquee games, and there's another one tonight, yes.
So,
who do you like in that game?
Who do you like? I'll ask you first.
Do you know the point spread, first of all? Because if you do, I'm going to answer two different ways.
I thought it was Kansas City 3.5, I'll confirm.
Could be a Super Bowl preview.
It is. Kansas City 3.5 in Jacksonville. Ooh.
So.
Well, no, that's, I mean, an AFC championship game preview. Next week is Lions and Chiefs.
Yeah,
Am I right about that?
It's still a good game because I think Jacksonville is better than people think, although Trevor Lawrence still has to kick on up a notch. I'm going to take Jacksonville in that game.
You know what? I'm going to be really annoyed if the Chiefs become really good again.
I think they will. So they probably
that's
should
really
win.
That's really going to, ugh. Then we're going to have to see Taylor Swift with her new album, Bob.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.